In 1850, the United States passed the controversial Fugitive Slave Act. It required that escaped slaves who were captured be returned to their masters, even if they had made it to a free state. Slave catchers were brutal in their pursuit of slaves who had escaped their masters, and they weren't above capturing free black people, too. And so, many African Americans in the North carried with them the papers proving they had bought or been given their freedom. Now, few of these documents have survived, but recently the Michigan Historical Archives unveiled a restored version of the manumission papers of a Mason man named Frank Demas. Here to tell us more about the significance of this document is Michigan State Archivist Mark Harvey. Welcome to Current State, Mark.
Thank you.
Also with us, Benjamin Hall, the great-great-great-grandson of Mr. Demas. Welcome to Current State, Ben.
Thank you.
This document was passed down to people in your family for generations. Why did you decide to give it to the Archives of Michigan?
Well, I guess first of all, it was time. And second of all, it had been sitting, well, since the late 80s in my father's safe in the original canister that I assume Frank Demas carried it around in.
Mm.
So it's amazing that it survived in as good a shape that it did.
Did you know a lot about Frank Demas growing up? I mean, was this something your family talked about?
A bit. My family has been kind of of biracial ethnicity going back that far, and some of us have embraced the African American side of our heritage, and some have not. I would say that my father had not, and we kept the history alive just to know where we came from, but as far as embracing the importance to black people of this of the manumission, maybe not so much.
Mark, how special is this document? Are there a lot of manumission papers in the state archives?
There's now one, so it's very special. Yeah,
this is the first.
One of our very early collections, there's a copy of one, or a copy of a part of one, but it's not for a free black. It's for an indentured servant, so it's not the same type of record. So this is the one that we have, and so it's special for a number of reasons, including its scarcity. But that's probably the least of the reasons why it's important.
What does the document tell us about Frank Demas's life?
Well, it's been interesting since Ben donated it 2 years ago, and it's taken us that long to go through the process of getting it restored and conserved. So we just got it back this past Monday, February 1st. So we're learning quite a bit about the document now that it's actually been unrolled. I think Ben said he never actually fully unrolled it during the time.
I was afraid to. I just didn't want to. I mean, I knew how old it was. I didn't want to compromise it at all.
Ben, how much have you learned then about your ancestors since you started looking into your family history?
A lot. I've had a chance to trace, all the way back, and I found out Mary, Frank's wife's mother's name, but that's as far back as it goes. So I've traced them back to Kentucky, where they were both slaves. But I've found out a lot about my family's history in this city, which is very interesting. Finding out that we were one of the first black families in town, finding out that my family has had kind of a relationship with the Littles, Malcolm X's family, going all the way back to that time. It's been quite a journey. I found out a lot of very, very interesting stuff.
When did your ancestors first arrive in Lansing then?
1870 was it? It wasn't that late.
Earlier than that, somewhere in the early 1860s. It's hard to pinpoint with census records because they usually leave a gap of 10 years.
Okay.
So from what we found, they Frank and Mary fled into Canada at some point between 1857 and 1860, and then they make their way back by way of Lenawee County, which is where the abolitionist Laura Havland was working with the Underground Railroad. And so, and then at some point, late 1860s, around 1870, they make their way to Vive Township, which is near Mason.
Nearby, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Frank Demas was also known as Thomas Willis for a while. Do we know, what do we know about that name change and the other name?
Well, I've actually found even more out within the last week, but his wife was an escaped slave. He helped her escape, and they fled north. And when they finally settled in Lansing, in order for her slave master to not be able to find her, they changed their name, their last name. And I found out from another Willis that lives in the Detroit area that he believes that they changed their last name to Willis because they stopped over for a brief time in Willis, Michigan, which was one of the first black settlements in Michigan.
Willis, Michigan. I've never heard of Willis, Michigan.
I hadn't either.
Well, is there still a Willis, Michigan?
I believe, and check my geography, but if you're traveling south on US 23, you go by Willis Road. It's just on an exit south of Ann Arbor, and that would be the area where.
So it may have been a road, and they just called it
Willis.
Yeah,
it was probably
Willis,
a small town.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it would have been on that path coming from Lenawee County, too, so that all makes sense.
We're talking with Michigan State Archivist Mark Harvey, also to Ben Hall, who recently donated the manumission papers of his great-great-great-grandfather to the Archives of Michigan. The document spent a lot of time rolled up in a tube. You referred to the restoration process. What did that take? What was that like?
Well, we actually didn't conduct the restoration. It's more a scientific chemical process, so it's a specialization that we took our time contracting with the right firm.
Who does that? And
not many people.
Do you understand?
We wound up contracting with a firm in Detroit called Rivers Preservation and Conservation. So their sole business purpose is to restore documents like this. And this is a special document because when we say the word document, we think paper. This is a type of parchment called vellum, which is made
animal
of
animal skin.
Yeah, it's calf skin specifically. So, I mean, there's a whole set of chemical parameters that need to be addressed when you're dealing with something like that. So, yes, it was rolled. The good thing is that official documents were put on that type of material because they last a long time taken care of the right way. Mm-hmm. So it's actually in really good condition.
What was it like to finally see that document rolled out flat in front of you like a proper document instead of imagining what it was like rolled up inside that canister?
It was a very emotional experience. You know, actually taking the time to read through it. I had in Mary's obituary, she died at, 97 years old? There was a full-page obituary of her in the local newspaper. And they transcribed word for word what the Freedom Papers said. So I had a chance to read through them then. But, actually seeing the handwriting and the signatures of everyone and the real color of the ink, which came out after the restoration process, it was very...
Yeah.
She died when, then?
It was in the...
1907.
1907, yeah.
How will people be able to see Frank Demas's manumission papers, Mark?
Well, it's on display right now at the Archives of Michigan. So because this isn't the typical path of a donation, but because of its importance, we have a small exhibit area in the entrance to the Archives of Michigan at the Michigan Historical Center. So it's on exhibit as we speak, and it will be there for some time. We haven't quite determined how long. And then long term, as the Michigan Historical Museum, which is our partner agency, moves to restore its 19th century exhibits, we'll figure out a way to include that in our principal galleries
and
permanently.
Ben, what do you want people who come to see this document to take away from it?
Well, I guess there's a few things. I mean, first of all, just looking at it and realizing what it took for Frank and Mary to get here. I mean, that I've actually had cousins reach out to me within the last couple of days that I didn't even know of. And
this story is still unfolding.
It is very much so.
How about that?
And how far we've come and how far we have to go, and also, it really puts into perspective the sacrifice of escaped slaves. I mean, just thinking about them hiding out and people's earthen basements or whatever to try to get here. I mean, and they have generations of great 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 grandchildren out there. So, I hope that people something that the head of the archives had said was that they want everyone to come in and find a piece of themselves in the museum. And I hope that someone comes in and finds a piece of themselves in the manumission.
We've been talking about the archives' recent restoration of the manumission papers of Mason resident Frank Demas. Our guests today have been Michigan State Archivist Mark Harvey and Ben Hall, Demas's great-great-great-grandson. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.